Our trust is in you, Lord. Our hope is in you. Our life is in you. Teach us, Father, your ways. Teach us the how, that there be no faltering, no setbacks, no limits to our realizations of all that you want to be in our lives. Take us to the fast track that knows no delays. Take us through that lane, O God, where obstacles do not slow us down. That pathway where we speak with the voice of the commander, reinstating the declaration of the Lord, the decree of our Father, recognizing who we are in you. We give you praise for this wonderful privilege that you've accorded us, and you're making certain we live out experientially for your glory and honor, your praise, worship, and adoration, and our benefit. In Jesus' mighty name we ask it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to see you today. This Bible study, we're going through the book of Proverbs, the third chapter. We wrapped up chapter 2 weeks ago, where we talked about, concluded about the aspect that many times brings people to the place of failure and defeat. We talked about the pathway of the evil workers who think they can get away with all kinds of stuff, and the Word of God saying, don't go that way. And how the Word of God says, don't go in the pathway of a woman with a flattering tongue. Now, I know the text states very clearly a woman, but the same is true that women also fall for the flattering tongue. And the message is this: be careful what you're listening to, what you are embracing, what you're keeping to heart, because that's going to determine your success or failure in life, no matter who you are, no matter what you may have achieved in life. Words are powerful. Words can keep you on track or derail you. And especially when you are a person in a position of leadership, you have to be very, very cognizant of this. Because if you are one who is always looking for the praise of man, you will betray yourself. You will do things that you will not normally do just to hear the nice words. If you're a pastor, a preacher of the gospel, you will do like the Word of God says in the last days, people are going to have for themselves. People itchy ears as ministers just want to hear, did I do good? And the people will not like that, so I better not say that because it's not politically correct. It's not culturally correct. It's not whatever correct. But is it spiritually correct? Is it what the Word of God is saying? That's what you need to say. Well, you might be booed off the stage, but that's okay. You will not be the first, and you will not be the last. Many prophets have been stoned for speaking the truth. Some God delivered them, and some God just let die. Not because of anything they did, good or bad, because God gets the glory, whether the person lives or he dies. You know, the church grew dramatically when Nero was emperor and was busy persecuting the church, throwing people to the lions. And while people were dying in the arena, people were getting saved. The church grew. God got his end, whether they died or they lived. And all God ultimately is concerned is that everybody comes into life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I may not like it, but that's the way it is. And ultimately, God's decision is the best, because being with God, being absent from the body and present with the Lord is better than hanging around a bunch of, I don't know what, you know, because of some Nescafe coffee. I'd rather be with the Lord than going riding in a yacht, fishing in the lake, and we're bodies. I'd rather be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyhow, chapter 3 gets us going, and it says, my son, forget not my law. Law here representing the word of God. My son, forget not my words, but let thine heart keep my commandments. That's a very interesting and powerful word. Let thine heart keep my commandments. It is there possible that you can hear the word of God and not keep it. Now, that word keep is the word notsar, notsar. And notsar just simply means to protect that word. I thought the word of God is supposed to protect me. Yeah. But how do I protect the word of God? By not allowing any negativity, any strand of unbelief, postulated by anyone to attack that word and make me faithless. I need to maintain, not so, that word. I need to protect it. I need to hold on to it. I need to obey that word, obedience. Remember, that's a key, one of the key things God gave to us during the meetings that we had, the impartation of obedience. obeying the instruction of God. He says, keep not so my commandment. Hold on to it. Embrace it. Be steadfast in it. Because if you do not forget my word and you hold on to the commands that I've given to you, and these are two different things. Because sometimes the commands that God gives to me may not be necessarily the commands that God gives to you. If you've been trained as a doctor, your discipline demands certain commands that may be different from a structural engineer, that may be different from an astronaut, that may be different from a truck driver. God gives to us particular commands that are disciplines for us in the area that He's called us to. Now, that does not mean that the one who is a doctor breaks the commands that are necessary for the one that is an engineer or the truck driver. Commands are universal, but commands are particular statements God will make to you and say, this is what I want you to do. For example, a command of the Lord to me was, I don't want you working out there. I don't want you doing this and doing that. That's my command to you. I want you to believe me and trust me. Now, there's a challenge because many times things are tight and I want to go do this and I want to do that and I want to do this, you know, to help out. And the command is, this is what I commanded you to do. I remember when I just got saved, you know, I've always I loved jewelry. You know, if I could put jewelry in every finger, I would put jewelry in every finger and hang all kinds of necklaces on my chest. Hallelujah, glory be to God, and be Mr. T. And God said, I don't want any rings on your finger. I'm going to put my signet ring on you. I said, what about when I get married? He said, that'll be okay then. But right now, no. So I said, signet ring, what's that? So I went looking at a dictionary to find out what that meant. It was a command. Now, that command, I don't take to everybody else and say, thou shalt not wear any jewelry. That's not a command for them. That was a command for me. So I have to obey that command. Amen? Hallelujah. He says, keep my commandments, my precise instructions to you. Now, those instructions may bridge all kinds of gaps, but this is something I want you to do. I'm instructing somebody to go east or north, and the direction that I give to the person that is going north or going east may not be exactly the same thing. Turn on such and such a street and go to this particular store and buy me this from that particular store. That's the command and instruction I gave to that particular individual. If I give a commandment to somebody else who's going north, then their commands may be different. So the key thing is obedience. Whereas in the keeping of the word of God or following the commands that God has given as an instruction, it is my obedience. And what does it say? It says, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Wow. What does the word of God say? Obey your parents, honor them. Honor your parents, and what is it going to give to you? It's going to give you the same thing. It's going to be well with you. You won't live long. Well, it's about my obedience. So the key principle that God is communicating to us is still the same. I want you to obey my instruction. I want you to obey my word to you. Whether it's a general word or a specific word, I want you to obey my words. I want you to do this, just do that. Follow through with that instruction. He says it's going to add to you length of days and long life. What is the difference between length of days and long life? Seem to be the same thing, but they're different. Length of days is God saying, you are going to accomplish more in a limited time than others. So, you know, we have 24 hours in a day. But let's say you produce in those 24 hours in the day work that should have taken 900 days or 900 hours. You accomplished it within the 24 hours. You've had length of days. Do you understand that? Being able to accomplish so much at a specific time, in essence, time did not change, but your productivity changed. So God's word is saying, if you just obey my instruction, your productivity is going to change. Your capacity to accomplish much is going to change. And not only that, you're going to have long life. Long life meaning you're going to live long. Just simply by obeying my word. And you're not just going to live long. He says, and peace. Because it's one thing for you to have long life and not have peace. If you have long life and you don't have peace, you want to die. Let me get out of here. But God's word says, you're going to have peace. You're going to have my shalom. What is that? Being in a state where nothing is missing, nothing is broken, all is whole. You're going to live long, you're going to accomplish much, you're going to live long, and nothing is going to be missing. You're not going to regret the days that you live in. In essence, you're going to live healthy. Because if you're living long and you're not healthy, well, that's a different kind of punishment. Why do I want to live long and I'm not healthy? Why do I want to deteriorate? No, that is not the intent. But embedded in that statement, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. He says, shall they add to thee? Shall they what? Add. So, in essence, God is saying, even if this was the time you're supposed to live, your obedience to my word is going to add more life to you. Wow. On Sunday, we had an impartation, and it was the impartation of life that is connected to obedience. The word of God is so consistent. The more you look at the word of God, the more you say, my God, I didn't see this, but you have an agenda. You have something that you're working at. And saints, God has something he's working at on my behalf and on your behalf. And it's all good. The thoughts that God thinks, they're all good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And the Lord will say, when I talk about length of days, and I talk about long life, and I talk about peace, I'm not talking about you achieving stuff when you are old, when you cannot enjoy it. heard the Spirit of the Lord say that to me just a moment ago. I don't want you to be blessed when you're old and you cannot enjoy it. What is the point of being able to buy the nicest steak when all you can do is gum it? Dentures, what was that? No, you want to enjoy it when you're young. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the word of God to us is, listen, your youth is going to be renewed so you can enjoy everything I bring to you. You will enjoy it. Somebody say amen to that. I receive that. Praise the Lord. I receive that. I will enjoy every single day of my life. Hallelujah. Praise God. I will see not only my grandchildren, I will see and enjoy my great-grandchildren, and I will see and enjoy my great-great-grandchildren. Praise God. Every generation, I will enjoy them. I will be able to carry them and run around with them and swing around with them and play with them and fight with them like I do with my grandkids all the time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just enjoying life. The other day, my second to the youngest grandson is doing some martial arts stuff, and you know, he's so good at it. And I started the fight with him, and this guy was kicking. I got scared. I said, oh my goodness, this guy's so because he was good at it. That's good to enjoy all of that. The goodness of the Lord. I pray and I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that every father, every mother, their children will see the manifold blessings of God and enjoy the goodness of God in their lives, in every area, in every realm, to the glory of God. Hallelujah. You will enjoy every day. There are no delays in God. God has a way of speedifying. Amen? Praise God. I've not used that word for a long time. Speedify. They shall add to thee. But then it says this. And this is an instruction. This is a spiritual command. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Let not. That means you have the will, you have the capacity to let it. But this mercy and truth is what the Word of God says in Proverbs 16:6 16:6. It says, by mercy and truth are iniquities purged. Patterns that bring about pain, they are purged by the presence of mercy and truth. And it is on the basis of that that the fear of the Lord causes us to depart from evil. And that's partly what we talked about in chapter 2, about departing from evil. And the way to accomplish that is to be able to extend mercy and truth. How do we extend this? By being patient with each other. You know what the truth is, but extend mercy. Because if you don't, you know, Paul tells us, better be careful how you deal with stuff, because if you don't deal with it properly in the spirit of humility, you're going to find yourself in the same mess. And when we extend mercy and truth to people, we are basically saying, wow, I see clearly what the wrong is here, but I'm going to extend mercy to you and say to you, you have another chance. I'm going to give you the room to make the right decision. Now, this is difficult for us to do because we want to have some sense of finality when we make judgments on particular things. You know, this person wronged me, and you will never be out of that bad book. Well, if you do that, and that's how you carry yourself in life, and you don't give people the opportunity to make changes, then you will not have a Paul. Amen? You will not have a Paul who writes most of the New Testament because you've already locked him down as a murderer, as a fanatic or whatever, and you will not give him a second chance. Now, if we did that with each other, who's going to stand? See, if the Word of God says, if you keep on biting each other like dogs, none of you will remain. So we need to extend mercy to people. People are going to make mistakes. Sometimes they may be intentional. Sometimes it's just an error. Sometimes it's just a trajectory from something that they did or said that took them off on a tangent, and they thought they were still on track, being steadfast, but they are steadily going off track. So mercy brings them back on track. Praise the Lord. And that's what God did with Paul. Paul was fervent. Paul was committed. Paul was steadfast. He believed what he believed, and he was ready to die for that. But God saw, you went off on a tangent here. You don't understand what grace is. You don't understand what mercy is. You don't understand what my love is. So let me straighten you back. And I put him back, and he continued with that stubbornness, that steadfastness. He just stayed true to it. And you know, sometimes we look at people, and we look at this person here, feisty and, you know, always loud and a goal-getter, and, you know, but that's not what you think good personalities should look like. So we try to quieten that personality. That's not what God does. God sees a Peter, and he sees he's a big mouth, and this guy is going to say whatever he wants to say, and says, you know what, all I need to do with you, I'll just straighten you out, and you'll be a big mouth for me on the day of Pentecost. God takes advantage. He doesn't judge our personalities. He works with it. Praise the Lord. So extend mercy. Extend mercy. You know, sometimes people are funny in certain ways, but that is the right personality to accomplish something else. And if you don't extend mercy and truth, then you'll never tap into their genius, that grace that is in them to accomplish so much. All my children are different. They are children of Mama and I, but they're different. My siblings, we're all different. They're, you know, me, I don't remember anybody's birthday. Anniversary, you know, even my grandchildren, that's how bad it is. Somebody has to remind me which one is. I'm bad with that. But I have a sister who remembers everybody's birthday, their children's birthday, every single detail. She is the one who's going to remind us every time, oh, thank God this person was born and blah, blah, plus one, and this person's anniversary, blah, 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 blah. Oh, but there are certain things that she might do that I say, I won't trust her with that. But I can trust her with this. Mercy, understanding, working with what you've got. And God's word says, when you are obedient to my word, don't let mercy and truth forsake you. The mercy of God, the truth of God, those two go together. Truth exposes what the reality is, but mercy comes alongside and says, okay, this is a problem, but I'm given an opportunity for a reset. Let's be willing to give each other a reset. Not only extending it to other people, but for yourself. Sometimes people don't forgive themselves. I know God forgave me, but I, and you got stuck there. And meanwhile, God is on the move. Let go of it. We already know how bad that situation is. We don't have to stay there and rub ourselves into that mess. Keep on going. Oh, but if you just keep on going just like that, you know, where's the repentance? The repentance is in you recognizing that God has already extended mercy. Repent. Go back. Come to your place, your rightful place. Give people a break. Give yourself a break. It says, bind them about thy neck. What is that? Let it be the thing that changes how you look at life. My neck muscles are focused in that direction right now, but if they turn, my neck turns my head this way, I see that. I don't see that anymore. If it goes this way, I see that. I don't see that anymore, and I don't see that anymore. Let mercy and truth navigate, help you see what you need to see. Then it says, write them upon the table of thine heart. Now, there's something that the word of God says gets on the table of our hearts. It is his commandments. He says, I'm going to write my commandments into your heart. Now, God, who said that, also now says, write mercy and truth there. Put mercy and truth there. Don't be so judgmental and critical of yourself to destroy yourself. See yourself, make the change, turn around, do the right thing. There's always a way to break out. And the word of God tells us how. Extend mercy and truth. Mercy and truth. Now, mercy and truth does not mean that having extended mercy to somebody, that I neglect the truth of the fact that they act in a particular way, and in recognizing that, not put them in a place where they become repeat offenders. I do not neglect that truth. This is a leopard, and it's not a pussycat. So I have to deal with the leopard as I shield. In understanding, this is a big animal, and this is the room where it is. So it broke my china. Me getting mad at the leopard breaking my china because it's moving around, trying to act up and whatever else, thinks it's plain with me, does not make it bad. I just recognize it's a leopard. And naturally, you know, this space, a limited space, China gets broken. Oh, this is a baby. A young toddler, they're going to get into all kinds of things. Broke my China. I clean up. Broke something else. I clean up. But I start to childproof. Yeah? That's the wise thing to do. Childproof. You don't want to put a TV on a dresser and you know this kid is going to go there and start trying to climb with the dresser, you know, and tilt. TV's falling over, falling on them, or falling down and breaking. You want to secure that television and make sure that this child doesn't climb and knock things over. Mercy is extended already before the mistake is done. Can you see how this can be helpful? You know, you think through because you're following the commands of God, the instruction of God. This is what I want you to do. You're going to hire this person. This is what I want you to do in this particular situation. And now that brings me to this. We're talking about Bible here, but we're talking about real life living. Everybody, while we want to have everybody have equal treatment or equal instruction, it doesn't work in the real life. You can have an office staff and different ones have different levels of access. And that is the right thing to do. Oh, well, if you loved me, you would have told me everything, Lord, just like you told the other person. It doesn't work that way. Because some things I may tell you may become harmful to you. You cannot handle it. As a pastor, I have to discern what do I tell everybody? Can I just open up and just say, well, this is what is going on? Who is that going to help? And who is it going to hurt? Can I tell, just say anything to anybody? No. There's some things I cannot say. And it's not because I'm trying to hide something. It's just because my saying it is not going to be beneficial to you. It's going to be more harmful. I'm putting weight on you that you shouldn't carry. I was ministering somewhere not too long ago. I guess it was Monday evening. And I said something about a particular time in my life. We had very little money. And I wanted to go work so bad, you know, to compensate. And the Lord said, no. That was his command to me. No. I don't want you going out there to work. I said to the Lord, I said, but the people are not given as they should. So I can have at least a decent level of living. He said, well, if you go to work, this is exact words, if you go to work, you will be saying that the people are not given. I said, but that's what they're doing. He said, but that's what you will be saying. That's why you should not. Huh? Sounded very confusing, but it's the truth. I'll be confirming something about the people. And if I'm confirming it about them, how do I expect them to be free from that? So, can't do that. Can't do that. I have to back off from that and just trust God. Say, God, help me. Help me. I need your help. Well, things didn't change right away. But every season was a God season. And I did not have the license to point a finger at anybody. I won't do it then, and I won't do it now. Do we have needs now? Absolutely. Am I convinced that everybody that's in this church, if they do the right thing that God has called them to do, those needs will be met? Absolutely. Am I going to spend my time hopping on that? No, sirree. Because that, I'm not going to turn the people, living stones, into bread. That's not my source. God, you're the source. So God, hey, you have all kinds of ways to meet this need. So I trust you. And that's the way to live life. In Him. And in doing so, you're extending mercy to each other. You're extending, you recognize the truth, but you're extending mercy to each other because your faith is in the Lord. It's in Him. Amen? He says, when you do this, he says, you're going to find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So, you're going to find favor and good understanding. I'm going to wrap it here because these next few verses are so insightful. They're so deep. And they need proper treatment. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the next few verses and just make very little comment and come back to this chapter and these verses. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God, good understanding, favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man by extending mercy and truth. And then it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. That word direct, interestingly enough, is a Hebrew word that basically, remember we're talking about the tangent, going off on a tangent and God straightening you out? That's the same word there. He says, as you acknowledge Him, He will straighten your path. He will smoothen your path. He will, you know, manage your path. Because He knows what to do and how to do it. Amen? And it takes us past that place and says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now, there are three things that I said we need to be reminded of when we're reading through the book of Proverbs. Do you remember those things? That's right. Okay? Having wisdom, having understanding, and knowledge. There are two other words I want you to add to your list. These are minor, but also still major. And that are these two words, fearing the Lord, departing from evil. Fear God, depart from evil. Fear God, depart from evil. When you have the wisdom, the understanding, and the knowledge of God, and you target those two things, fearing the Lord and departing from evil. And one of the things we learned during the teaching on the fear of the Lord is that the fearing of the Lord is the praising of God. Remember that? Okay. Praising God is an expression of the fear of the Lord. In us being in awe of who He is and being in reverential focus as we look at Him and we worship Him. And that causes to depart from evil, from following the ways of wicked men and doing things that are temporary and not eternal. Amen? So we have those three, and these are addendums to that. Fearing the Lord and departing from evil. And as we are going through the book of Proverbs, if we put those things in view, we begin to understand what God is trying to get across to us. And this is what ends up causing us to be better, greater people. People of integrity, people of honor, people that ultimately accomplish God's will and God's purpose. So we'll take it up again from Proverbs 3 and verse 4 next week and explore through these verses and see the benefits that come from us having finding favor in the sight of God and in the sight of man. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us in Luke, that Jesus grew in wisdom. Amen? He grew in stature. And He grew in favor with God and with men. These are areas that we grow in. We grow in wisdom. And it affects our stature in life. And causes us to find favor in God and with man. And this favor from God and from man is an interesting one. Because the Word of God says when we find favor in the sight of God, we'll benefit from even our enemies. And in understanding what mercy and truth is, remember the teaching about being an ambassador. One of the key fundamental aspects on that particular thought, when God calls us to be His ambassadors, I said to us that the ambassador is not only protected by his home government, but by the government of the country that he's in. And by extrapolation, that means for us that we are not only protected by the kingdom of God, but that the kingdom of darkness makes sure that we're protected. Because not being protected means war. And the devil knows he's a defeated one. And me being messed with is him being humiliated again and again. And because he sowed, watch this, because Satan sowed rebellion, guess what he gets? He gets rebellion. Oh, he's not going scot-free. That law is operating. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ says, if the forces of darkness contend against each other, that kingdom cannot stand. Amen? And that is one of our warfare, spiritual warfare tools that we use. Let the enemy come against each other. But when does that happen? When we start praising God. Yeah? When we start praising God. Just like the children of Ammon and Mount Seir, you know, went after each other and destroyed each other. Well, the same thing happens today. God is on our side, and if God be for us, nothing can stop us. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Thank you, Lord, for unveiling the truth of your word to us. And Lord, O God, as we explore this truth, Lord, O God, may our lives be forever changed. May our lives receive an infusion of eternal life, an infusion of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, an infusion of the grace to have a true reverential fear of you, and the grace to depart from evil. We embrace mercy and truth. We bind it, O God, around our necks. And Lord, O God, let mercy and truth be the conduit through which we see life, the world, and how we deal with people and ourselves. We receive, O God, deep insight and understanding so that our lives, O God, forever change. Cause your name to be exalted amongst men. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we ask it done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. Let us release in faith and by faith our gifts of faith, and let lives be impacted. When we sow for souls. And let this be a connecting point for us tonight to invest in souls. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God. I want to say hello to Sister Patsy. Bless you, Sister Patsy. Welcome back. And we look forward to seeing you soon. God bless you. We appreciate you so very much. Blessings. Hallelujah. Let's all honor God, and we'll see you. Yes, she's there. We'll see you on Friday for our prayer time together. God bless. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord. Amen. And